You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Morning to you. The 19th day of December. Five and a wake up. Yeah, I didn't mean to startle anybody. Five and a wake up. I do my best to stay away from the television, especially when it has to deal with Congress. In my opinion, Congress is in a death spiral that they cannot pull themselves out of. And although, and I said this and I mean it, I mean, it's a higher functioning death spiral than we've seen in the past. So publicly, right, it's the issue of impeachment, which will go nowhere, right? So the theatrics of impeachment by a divided Congress, and I don't believe, in fact, I'll tell you what, the headline I saw as I was perusing headlines today, Representative Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii, I don't know if she's still running for president, but she did something that I thought was probably the appropriate thing to do. I don't understand why she voted present. Either you're for the impeachment or you're against it, and she's against it. She then introduced, or says she's going to introduce, a measure to censure the president, which I believe is appropriate. But all the rest of this is, it's disturbing in terms of the whole impeachment thing and, you know, what is a high crime or misdemeanor? And I heard somebody say, you know, this started with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And I said, well, okay, so Before that, it was Andrew Johnson and Richard Nixon, although, no, Nixon was never impeached, right? I want to say, the House Judiciary? Did it even get to the full House? I'd have to look that up. But clearly, you know, Nixon, his crimes were high crimes. And so, which was, again, stupid, you know, what Nixon won in one of the great landslides in American political history. So, that statement, like, struck me. So, is perjury by the President of the United States, is that not a high crime or a misdemeanor? Now, I think it would have been, that just strikes me. So you're the President of the United States, you lie under oath, and that's not a high crime or misdemeanor. I think it is. I think if you're the President of the United States and you take the oath that all the rest of the citizens take, you know, whatever that oath is, to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, to help you God, and then you turn around and you lie, that's not a crime. No, but anyway. This whole, you're not supposed to impeach for political reasons. Now, clearly, I think what the president did was wrong. Okay, but I think that now anytime you see a foreign government do anything, right, what's your first instinct going to be? Somebody from the United States got to them. Right? Anyway, so this death spiral that our Congress is in, I think, was made worse yesterday. I think that their inability to conduct the affairs of the American people is pretty pathetic. The question is, so what drives this? You know, what drives this? And so, what I come back to is this, you know, you have the bell curve, right? This is my analysis right here. You have the bell curve, and then draw a line right down the middle of the bell curve. Okay? Put R on the right side of that and D on the left side. Okay? And now on the flat line, I want you to draw a rectangle around the flat lines of the bell curve on each extreme. Okay. Now, once you cannot compromise anymore, right, I would say the will of the people, which is defined by the long axis underneath, right, the bell curve, right, the apex of the bell curve, when you draw a line down there, and you say, yeah, you won't be going across this line to cooperate in legislation. You won't compromise. All you do is you empower the fringe elements of both parties. And so, what fuels that inability, right, to compromise? Money? From political action committees, from big donors in the Democratic and Republican parties, and the 24-hour news cycle, right? So that if you do compromise, you will be punished. Most certainly you will be punished. And you will have a primary challenger in your next election. And so you cannot compromise anymore. What used to be the lubricant of democracy is now a death sentence for a politician, right? So, and then we empower the nuts on the far right and the far left. And then how do you stop this then? I don't think, you know, given that, you know, given those conditions, you continue to see Congress, right? You know, I mean, can they drive it to the floor? Can their rating get negative? Right? Can the approval of America, of America's population, go below zero? I don't think it can. So Tulsi Gabbard, I don't her present vote on the impeachment was pretty gutless. But I think her if she introduces a bill to censure the president, I think that would have been the appropriate course all along. And the rest of this is all politics. And I do believe the Senate ought to give this, the impeachment legislation, the same amount of partisanship that the House did, and they should vote not to consider it, and it will be done. But, you know, again, I don't know, when you watch all of this on a regular basis, what in God's name do they think they're doing? To not deal with health care, right? To not deal with the major issues that sit in front of the United States. Jobs. Right? To not deal with those issues, what do they think they're doing? And they certainly don't get it. But I don't know it. So what changes it when people finally just get, you know, I'm sick, do not go to Washington. And now this was what happened in the last Congress, right? And during the last election, in the current Congress. The newly elected members of the House and Senate got told, we're tired of this. And that's how Ms. Pelosi was going to get unseated. But she survived all that. And so here we are with more of the same. So what's going to change it? Will new people change it? Or will they just be new faces added to the same agendas? So I don't know. Without compromise, the fringes get, you know, empowered. And the fringes both have news networks. And meanwhile, the work of the American people doesn't get done. Does not get done. Now, again, I'll have to admit, we're not doing sequestration. So this means that this is a higher functioning group than the Congresses under President Obama were. Which they went home. Sequestration, boom. So, anyway, good morning to you. I watched It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I have to ask, I'm not sure about this, but is the colorized version of It's a Wonderful Life, has that thing been out for a while? Because the one I watched last night on Amazon Prime for free, well, it's not free. I mean, it's part of my subscription, right? But I have to tell you, I liked it. Yeah. And I'm watching it in, like, high definition. And so, but I didn't know if that was a newer version of It's a Wonderful Life. I like George Bailey, by the way. He seems like a good dude to me. Yeah. And so the colorized version, parental guidance suggested? Like what? Why would parental guidance be suggested? Because the issue of suicide is in there? So I'm looking at it, and I'm curious about the colorized version of it. Because it's, you know, when those colorized versions first came out, they sucked, right? And this one didn't suck. And so So I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of curious about it. And the whole process of the colorized version, blah, 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 blah. And how it was done, if it was redone recently, because I'll tell you this, in what was the war movie about World War One? That the guy who made all the Hobbit movies and all those dwarves and dragon movies. Yeah, I can't remember whatever the name of that is. And so the what he did to colorize that video is amazing. So I'm just curious if anything was done more recently . And so, anyway, I just, I watched about half of it last night. So here's the colorization. Technological first CD. DVD restoration. In 2017, the film was restored to 4K resolution. Available via streaming services. In 2019, the film was released for the first time in 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital copies featuring Dolby Vision Transfer and the original black and white version, and it also contained the colorized version on Blu-ray. That's what I'm watching. That's why it, you know what? That's why it looks so good. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought, you know, these things when they came out. And then I started watching, and I was like, wow, look at Violet. She's in a pink dress. Who knew? Right? Who knew? So I watched half of it last night before I got ready to go to bed. It's a Wonderful Life. Now, I talked yesterday about General Holland Mad Smith. I rewatched a bunch of that. I did stuff all weekend, and so yesterday I took the day off after I got done putting my after I posted my stuff to the internet. I was tired. So I went out and lay down on the couch and slept most of the rest of the day until Colleen came home. But when I was watching the World War II series that was made, and the Marine Corps didn't make it, right? When I saw it, I thought, this was made in the 50s because you have General Smith in full uniform, and he's been retired for probably, you know, 7 or 8 years. He's in his full uniform, sitting at a desk, and behind him are different paintings. They keep changing the paintings. And they're those gigantic paintings that you see in the National Museum of the Marine Corps. And one of them's of the Chosen Reservoir. Well, that doesn't happen until 1950, right? So, even a dope understands that what, but I want to play. He said something really interesting about the Battle of Saipan yesterday, so I want to play you a snippet. It's a few minutes long, and you're going to hear him talk about Saipan, and that he thought Saipan was the key battle in the battle for the Pacific. Right, that other battles certainly got more visibility than Saipan, but Saipan ultimately would be what he thought the pivotal battle of the Pacific. And then there was in one more reason Saipan was significant to him, and it was personal. So I want you to listen to General Holland M. Smith, and the series is called Marines in Combat, Battlefield World War II or something like that. So Battlezone World War II, : Marines in Combat on Amazon Prime. So Saipan was personal to General Smith, and you're going to hear him talk about it. The music's awesome. Now you're seeing naval ships at sea, obvious amphibs, right, at sea.
This is the Pacific.
Shot of Japanese generals getting out of a vehicle with their sword, right? Looks like, in my opinion, it would be in the Philippines. Maybe not.
This was their blueprint, carefully planned, ruthlessly executed, bluntly reversed. Behind, our stepping stones, some captured, some bypassed. The Solomons, Bougainville, New Britain, the Gilberts, Macon and Tarawa, the Marshalls, Iniwetok, Kwajalein. Isolated are...
I thought it was Iniwetok and Kwajalein.
Ball, the Carolines, and Truk, former nightmare of the Central Pacific. But one more step is needed.
Just showed a B-29 taking off.
To provide bases within bombing distance of Tokyo. The Marianas are a must.
The music's awesome, isn't it? Now, this is when I noticed it. So you're gonna they introduce General Smith, right? And but there's like Marines in the snow. I'm like, we weren't in the snow till the 50s, man. So this didn't get made until I would say the mid 50s. I should look it up, but the mid 50s, because not only would the Chosen Reservoir campaign have to have gotten done, but somebody would have had to done the painting and got it to the Marine Corps, who then accepted it and put it up someplace. Would have been a few years.
Here is your host, General Holland M. Smith, former commanding general, Fleet Marine Force Pacific Area, United States Marine Corps.
I have always considered Saipan the decisive battle of the Pacific Offensive. Iwo Jima and Okinawa were costlier, but their capture was made possible by Saipan, which breached Japan's inner defense circles, destroyed the main bastions, and opened the way to the home island. Equally important was the psychological effect, for the crushing defeat at Saipan carried the Tojo cabinet into the discharge. For the first time, the Japanese nation was told that the American forces were perilously close to their homeland. But the real zest for its capture came from the knowledge that Admiral Nagumo, who led the attack on Pearl Harbor, was there.
The softening up.
The real zest was that Admiral Nagumo was there. Shit was personal. The guy who led the attack on Pearl Harbor was at Saipan. And they knew it. Let's go, boys. I continued to watch that yesterday. I would recommend it to you. As I said, there's a lot of stuff, having watched it a second time yesterday, that I'd never seen before. Again, you see snippets of this. And so you see the longer versions of those things. And then some things you've never seen. The other thing that they did at the end was they kind of strung together all these kind of, you know, what the troops are doing on those islands when they're not fighting. Right? It shows them cooking an alligator. Right? And people going, yeah, not so much, man. Alligator. Not so much. And yeah, it shows them playing baseball. It shows them goofing off. It shows some of the stuff they built to live in. Right? Hey, let's send them to Pabuvu. It's located here, not knowing that the thing's like a swamp and living conditions are going to be horrible and malaria is going to be horrible. Oh, yeah, we didn't really do that part of the survey. We just thought it would be centrally located to going there. Oh, well, it sure as hell is. It's just the rest of it that sucks. So, anyway. All right, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenny going to join me. We're going to check the news. First thing I want to talk about is in the news today is Reuters is the one really that's that their stories about the base housing situation across the United States really have driven that issue. And I, a little bit earlier, I was talking about Congress and just the low bar that that their approval rating is, you know, can an approval rating ever be negative? I guess not. I guess it can only go to zero. So the so what does it take to get Congress to act? Well, it takes what they're most sensitive about, and that is media coverage. So contained in the legislation that Congress passed on Tuesday, right, the gigantic bill that funds the federal government, is legislation concerning military housing. And so we're going to talk about that. So good morning to you on this Thursday. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Lynch and Kenny in 37 minutes. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to Congress, right? Hopefully you can get your shit together. And hopefully you can do the work of the American people. Because I mean, this stuff is, in my opinion, absolutely ridiculous. Right? There, I mean, do I agree with what the president did? No, I don't. Should it have been taken down this? No. What drives this? What drives this thing of impeachment? Who drives it? Is it somebody's money? Is it the left wing of the Democratic Party? Because trust me, the left wing of the Democratic Party is not embraced, right, and cannot get them elected. And so I don't understand it from a political perspective. I don't understand it from, you know, the history of Congress perspective. It's but Congress sucks, man. They're horrible. Anyway, this is dedicated to the hope that at some point Congress can get their act together, because they are a millstone around the neck of the American people right now.
betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, the failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather in Marineland. Currently, sunny and 31 in Quantico. Sunny and 41 down in North Carolina. It's cold down there. Out in 29 Palms, it is sunny and 42, so it's cold there. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 44. That's really cold there. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 68. That's pretty normal. Okinawa, a little bit cooler, dark and raining with a current temperature of 66. Hold on, let me back up. Camp Smith in Hawaii has 4 weather alerts. Uh-oh. If you're going to Hawaii, not exactly what you want to hear. I'm going to go to Hawaii for the first time ever. How about that? Yeah. Oh, Mac, going to Hawaii. High wind watch, a gale watch, a small craft advisory, and a high surf advisory in Hawaii. Okinawa. Yeah, they have 3 weather advisories. So we got to check that out, too. Raining, dark, and 66. Okinawa's got a high wave advisory. They've got a thunderstorm advisory and a gale advisory. So I got that. Heading further to the west, to Afghanistan, Lashkar Gah. Dark, cloudy, and 46 in Ramadi. Further to the southwest, it is dark, clear, and 55. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California. You could throw Irvine in there. Sunny and 49 degrees. Looking for a high of 67 degrees today. Then up to 74 tomorrow, thank God. 72 on Saturday. Yeah, I'm not this cold weather, man. I'm not. How about the 10-day forecast? Let's check out the 10-day forecast. Let's see. Today, sunny and 67. We get up to 74 on Saturday. No, on Friday? Saturday, 72. Sunday, 66. Monday, 61. Come on now. And it stays in the low 60s until the new year. Who needs it? All right. More of All Marine Radio. We'll check news headlines. We'll start with Congress approving sweeping military housing overhaul, which is, I might add, which is long overdue, right? Which is long overdue. So you'll hear about that as we check the news. Coming up next on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
All right, we've been following the military housing stuff and wondering, you know, when Congress would act. Well, it acted in the piece of legislation that the president said he'll sign that was passed by the House on Tuesday. So let me tell you what's going to happen. The reforms included in the National Defense Authorization Act aimed to protect some 200,000 military families living on U.S. bases from health hazards, including mold, lead, asbestos, and pet infestations. Problems have been detailed by Reuters since last year in a series of investigations entitled Ambush at Home. If you haven't checked that out, I would recommend it. It's very well done. You notice how they don't say anything about, though, water contamination. Congress approved more than $300 million in 2020 funding for the collection of measures that have been passed. right? And those measures will combat landlord fraud and protect families against retaliation for reporting hazard. According to Senator Tim Kaine. Now, what's interesting is you can go ahead and look in these different, I forgot to do shithole weather again. I'll do it in a few minutes. All right. I'll do it at the end of this segment. The Senator Kaine, who you can go back and see him doing this in the like around 2010. He's going to these homes and he's wringing his hands and he's talking to people. Nothing happens. Right? Quote, this would not have happened if the military had not turned its eye away from managing these contracts, said Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, whose son is a Marine, I might add. After visiting bases, Kaine introduced requirements that housing managers check homes whenever a tenant moves in or out to protect residents from hazards or onerous move-out fees. You're relying on the integrity of the people. I don't think that should, in my own opinion, that should have been somebody independent who works for the command, not for the housing people. This bill passed the Senate 86-8 after having previously cleared the House of Representatives. Since the 1990s, 98% of family housing has been controlled by these companies. They signed agreements to become landlords for 50 years. The new legislation requires the U.S. Department of Defense to expand housing oversight and appoint a chief housing officer to track progress. The military must create a tenant bill of rights, boost housing inspections and standards, and adopt a dispute resolution process in which tenants can withhold rent from landlords when unsafe conditions persist. The measure also protects whistleblowers from reprisals and forces private landlords to pay relocation and medical costs for families exposed to housing hazards. Yeah, but how do you get them to do that? Right. It also bars landlords from charging any home rental fees in excess of the service member's federal housing stipend and suspends a program that saddled some families with inaccurate utility bills. The new legislation requires federal audits and independent inspections and gives tenants access to maintenance work orders, records, and details about past findings of hazards in their home. Yeah, I mean, this is how stupid this was. Well, can I look at the maintenance that's been done to the house? No, you can't. What? It's like you're dealing with some kind of racketeering shit. The measure also requires a public database for housing complaints and annual reports on housing managed by each landlord. The military must now disclose whether the landlords were granted their incentive fees, which will be withheld if the companies fail to remedy hazards. So, will that remedy the problem? Will that remedy the problem? All right, in a related story, yeah, news people say that shit all the time. Judge rules $2 million for Marine family and military housing lawsuit is excessive, calls for a new trial. So this came out of San Diego. A judge ordered a new trial in the case of a Marine Corps family sickened by mold in military housing, stating that the $2 million in damages that a jury awarded them was excessive, according to documents filed Monday in San Diego Superior Court. Judge Randa Trapp sided with Lincoln Military Housing and its subsidiary, San Diego Family Housing, the company that manages residences at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego, where the family lived, and ordered the new trial during a hearing on December 6th. Trapp said that the new trial should determine a new settlement for the family in pain, suffering, and emotional distress, because the $500,000 awarded to each of the four members of the Charvet family was too much. The evidence presented does not support such a high amount for what appears to be temporary nasal symptoms, insomnia and irritability, breathing difficulties, tiredness, and Mrs. Charvet's feeling like she was lost. She has lost a year, the judge wrote in her ruling. So that story made news nationally because of the amount of the award, and that it's been one of the, you know, one of the few that have gone to court and then been decided in favor of the plaintiff. So that in the news. From USNI News, Navy drops TV ads, trades Super Bowl spots for esports and YouTube. In 2020, Navy officials told USNI News the service plans to spend nearly $33 million, which is 97% of its advertising budget, on online advertising. A little more than $1 million will be spent on billboard ads and spots on local radio stations. That leaves the Navy planned television buy at $0. 2 years ago, the Navy spent $20 million on television advertising. Guess what? I guess the kids aren't watching television. The Navy is shifting to online mostly advertising for the simple reason. Research says the service's target audience of people between 17 and 28 years of age is there. Vice Chief of Naval Operations Robert Burke said during a recent appearance at the Military Reporters and Editors Annual Conference, quote, "One thing we did learn is paying for a lot of TV ads in the middle of Super Bowl games. The target audience is not watching that." Those are expensive ads, too. I don't know if anybody told the Navy that. But, yeah, that stuff's expensive. Here's a story. Headline. Wife kept husband's corpse in a freezer for 10 years while collecting his VA benefits. The apartment complex's maintenance worker grew concerned when his usual correspondence with one of the building's tenants, 75-year-old Jean Cerrone Mathers, went unanswered for weeks, so he called the police. Authorities found the deceased body of Cerrone Mathers the moment they entered the Tool, Utah apartment, a discovery that prompted a detective's subsequent arrival to inspect whether any foul play was involved. What he found shocked him. The detective started looking around, opened up a deep freezer, and finds an unidentified male that is deceased. There, piled in the freezer, was a fully intact body of Cerrone Mathers' husband, military veteran Paul Edward Mathers, the Salt Lake Tribune reported. Fingerprints taken from the freezer-bound corpse confirmed the identity of the veteran, who would have turned 69 years old in November. Following a medical examination and interviews with neighbors and friends who said they had not seen her husband since early in 2009, investigators determined the corpse had been occupying the freezer for the last decade. Subpoenas distributed to various financial institutions then revealed Cerrone Mathers had been receiving her husband's benefit checks from the Department of Veterans Affairs since the veteran's death over 10 years ago. And here's the twist to the plot, which makes this really weird. Authorities located a handwritten, notarized letter, presumably written by Mathers and dated December 2nd, 2008, that says that his wife is not responsible for his death. Additionally, investigators learned Mathers had been suffering from terminal illness around the time of his death. The letter is being examined by a handwriting expert to determine if it was indeed written by the deceased husband. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You can't make it up, right? Top five stories in early bird today. Number one, Congress adopts defense bill that creates the Space Force. That's right. Number two, lawmakers pressure Trump. This is the same as yesterday. I think the website is having problems there on military.com. North Korea has promised a Christmas gift to the U.S. Have you read that? What do you think it's going to be? Here's what the Pacific Air Force's commander thinks North Korea's gift will be. I met his wife. Charles Brown, General, United States Air Force. I met his wife, Charlene. She's a huge fan of post-traumatic wing. She's who's bringing me to Hawaii. Yeah. Pacific Air Force's commander, General Charles Brown, predicts North Korea will conduct a long-range ballistic missile test in the coming weeks. Comments that came after North Korea warned it would send a Christmas gift to the United States. Quote, what I would expect is some kind of long-range ballistic missile would be the gift, Brown told reporters Tuesday during a defense writers group breakfast in Washington, D.C. Quote, it's just a matter of does it come on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day? Does it come after the New Year? Another option Brown said would be on the table is that North Korea, which has not tested an intercontinental ballistic missile since 2017, would announce it will lift itself and impose moratorium on such long-range tests. The move would mark an escalation in North Korea's action so far this year. So, there you have it. General Brown, who I'm going to get to meet. Yeah, how awesome is that? Next headline. Transatlantic relations a la Macron could become NATO's brain death, could make NATO's brain death a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whether reckless, a dubious gamble, or a calculated attempt to shift European security policy writ large, French President Emmanuel Macron's choice of words describing NATO's brain death has made a lasting impression. Beneath the surface, a larger risk to the transatlantic relationship looms in the Trump-like rhetoric. Macron's increasing skepticism toward U.S. foreign policy is forcing him to spell out a different vision for European security. The vision sees less American engagement and seeks to re-engage malign actors like Russia, all the while recasting them as less problematic to European security than the past several years would suggest. So we're going to play the emperor's new clothes. Yeah, screw Trump. We'll get in bed with Putin. That's the ticket. Come on, are they that stupid? The rhetoric doesn't seem to be a bug. It's built in. But the real problem is that if we remain on the current path, Macron's take on NATO flatlining could change from a colorful metaphor about troubled times for the alliance to a self-fulfilling prophecy. If Macron's rhetoric is not an accident and is meant to shape NATO and European security, we need to, as Macron himself suggests, understand the world as it is. The U.S. and Europe face no shortage of common challenges today. Instability in the Middle East poses serious security questions for Europe and the U.S. alike. Russia looms to the east, and the challenge from China to the multilateral system looms even larger. Internally, inequities in defense spending are a cause of consternation, as are capability gaps, diverging threat perceptions. Pretty interesting little article. Who wrote it? Stephen Kale. Who is he? I'm curious now. Because at some point, the nations of the world have to either, you know, are they going to roll over for Russia? Germany going to roll over for Russia? Anyway, disturbing. All right, let me do shithole weather. We'll take a break, and then we'll get Tim and Jeff in here. From Chris in Webster. He's on the move again. He's skiing again. Wachusett Mountain. North Wachusett's is 2,006 feet high and 40 miles from Webster. The Santa Ana Mountains start at 5,200 feet high and are 27 miles east of Costa Mesa. Yeah, it gives you some idea. Like, we're not even talking about the Sierra Nevadas. Enough said. He waves a white flag. Ah, that's funny. It's cold. Not Canada or Minnesota cold, but cold enough. 4 degrees with a high of 18 today. Deep blue sky. Winds out of the west. Sustained at 18. Gusting to 30. That's pretty windy when you're skiing. Button down and buckle up, boys. Going to be a nice morning. Chris from Webster out. And there's a picture of, I don't know, it looks like a fire station with the American flag out front. A little bit of snow. And a picture of his speedometer. He's parked. I'm not sure the significance of that. But whatever. The weather from Saskatchewan this morning. Good morning from Churchbridge. Our forecast up to and including Boxing Day, which for those of you that don't know, is the 26th of December, suggests that old man winter has for now loosened up his grip on Saskatchewan. Currently overcast, Churchbridge sits at 10 degrees above zero, with winds out of the east at 10. This afternoon, to be mostly cold with a high of 12 and winds out of the southeast at 14 miles an hour. And then a picture of Bev's Christmas tree. Very pretty. Very pretty Christmas tree. From North Carolina. 32 degrees and sunny all day. I can't remember the name of the city. Looking for a high of 42 with light winds. Overnight low is 27. First Sergeant Wayne, 0352. Death on the leash. Right? Here's the photo. North Dakota license, North Carolina license plate agency. What the hell is that? He says, I'm going to haze myself for forgetting the picture again. Something just happened. Oh. That just happened. Let's see. Here's a picture. Bill is a QC guy and a member of the tribe. Bill, from another Marine, he's skiing with Chris. From Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville is cloudy at 43. Winds 4 to 8 miles an hour out of the southwest, looking for a high of 58. P.S. Helen Matt Smith sacked Ray Smith, U.S. Army, on Saipan, which was very controversial well after the war. Not many spoke well of Howling's decision after the campaign. Dave. Yeah. Just so you know, don't get in General Smith's way. Here's another picture. The flag out in front of the Vacaville Police Department. A foggy, overcast day. In a meeting today, Mac, Nancy sends me this instead of a weather update. No weather stats today. Here's a picture from the regional high school. Back live tomorrow. Be well and Merry Christmas. Snow all over the place in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Oh, my God. The end of a saga. This is from Lou. I'm off today and for the rest of the year. Use it or lose it. Use it or use it. Lose it or use it. I got this photo from a friend in the office. This is my program's deputy chief engineer. I guess he's now the dark lord of the class desk. His apprentice might just make an appearance at the 2 p.m. office party. By the way, Nancy and I are seeing the movie at 6 p.m. tonight and 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, too, with Kate. Oh, the Star Wars movie. May the Force be with you and your spirit. And the dude's in like a, he's like in the dark, in the Darth Vader like costume hood thing with what looks like a no kidding lightsaber. The whole Star Wars thing's a little bit weird to me. I don't take it personally, but it is. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny will join us here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. Don't touch that dial.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.